Once again, good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. We'd like to ask you please to bow your heads for a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings you have given to us as your people. In this moment that we will open your word and learn from history, what you, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has put in the printing pages of the Bible, for us to learn from the past so that we do not have to repeat the curses of the past, but we can renew our opportunities to be better and to fulfill the purpose and the plans that you have for us as you create us. We ask you please to be with us, to be with each one that is participating in this moment in this worship experience. In the name of Christ, we ask, please use us as your instrument and inspire those hearts, those ears that are listening to this message. In the name of Christ, we ask, Lord, amen. Back to school. The title for our message this morning is Back to School History Lessons. Yes, we live in a time with some kind of uncertainty and some anxiety. Teachers, parents, students, all around the world are making plans to go back to school. Yes, remote, they call remote learning or in person, but learning must go on. Many changes are being put in place in order to avoid future contamination. For safety purpose, many things are being done. In some countries that has more resources, more things are being done. In some countries that do not have enough resources, is more difficult. But everybody is looking forward to know when normal will come back. But until normal comes back, one fact is sure: learning must go on. Learning is essential to the development of every human mind. Learning begins when our brains are formed, even before we are born. But only ends in this life when we go to the grave. Learning is very important. Every day, every moment, we learn something. Learning is like food. Some eat health food because they enjoy life and they want to preserve life, because life is something very special to them. But some, they just like junk food because they enjoy eating. Some live to bring meaning to life, and some live as if life has no meaning at all. As one of my college professors once said, some people dig their grave with their own teeth. As we learn in school or in our personal daily activities, each person has their own favorite subject. I remember having my favorite subjects. Everybody that I knew, they didn't like much math. I had a math teacher that was a very serious person. He was not very friendly. He was straight to the numbers. He didn't talk about anything else but just the numbers. And everybody in class was even afraid to ask him questions. It was not me. I always had my hands up and I asked questions. But what was beautiful is when came the time for the exams, I was calm because I knew the answers. See, I put my hand up when it was time to ask the questions. But when it was time to give the answers, I had the answers. Why? Because I asked the questions. Those that were afraid to ask questions, we could see them a few minutes before the exams, desperate, looking the books, looking their notes, and we could see that how stressful they were. I was there very happy, and I had no problem. Exams didn't bring me any stress. Why? because I was prepared for those exams because it was my favorite subject. We all have favorite subjects in everything we do in life. Today's message is entitled Back to School History Lessons. I'm going to try to pronounce here two words in Hebrew. Arutz Shiva, which is translated into English means Channel 7. That's all it is. This is a Israeli national news agency. Somebody wrote an article, and I'm going to share with you part of the article that this person wrote about the subject that we are talking today. He wrote, "The question we must ask is why do we commemorate events of so long ago? In other words, why do we bother about the history? What is so important about the history that we have to spend energy with it?" He asked, "Why is it important in time and age when people want to forget things instead of remember them? People have no patience with the history," he said, "especially the young people. They don't want to know. For them, everything has to be brief, fast, like a flash. They have no interest and no patience for history." I agree with that to some extent because when I was in the sixth grade, I remember asking my history teacher, "Why do we have to study history? Why is the purpose for it? It happened so long ago. Why do we have to take our time, spend our time with this subject?" And the teacher tried in a very polite way to try to convince not only me, but the entire class that it was important for us to study what happened before. This same article that I was quoting from, it continued by saying, "It is unique to Judaism that a history is not about the past." What? That's what all of us believe, that history is about the past. But this writer said, "It is unique to Judaism that history is not about the past. As a matter of fact," he says, "it is about the future." He says, "In Judaism, we don't look back in order to look forward." I mean, he said, "In Judaism, we look back in order to look forward." He said, and this, he wrote this article because it was, at that time, was they were celebrating Jerusalem Day. So he said, "All our festivals, all our celebrations, they are not just ritual observances. They're actually lessons. They are lessons that we have learned from our patriarchs and our matriarchs. We learn from understanding them why they happened. We learn from the lessons that they brought to us." Winston Churchill once said, "The further back we look, the further ahead we will see." And this author is still saying, "Our elders," meaning the Jewish elders, "said it 1,000 years earlier. They taught us that we have to look back to learn lessons that will avoid us to repeat the miseries of the past." Past generations has given to us the gift so that we do not have to go through the same pain and some mistakes they made. So for history, for the Jewish people, does not have the same meaning that has to the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, in Hebrew, the word zekira does not mean history. There's no Hebrew word for history. Zekira means remembrance. Remember the Sabbath, remember? They said, "Remember the Sabbath." Zokar, remember the Sabbath. Meaning, is not remember the something that happened. Learn from it every time you celebrate. There is something else that reveals about today and about tomorrow. So when we celebrate the Sabbath, it's not in Judaism, it's not asking us to look to the past, but it's asking us to learn from the past so that we can invest today and we can invest for tomorrow. So today, there are lessons for today that we must learn. The Semites, the people of the Bible, in Bible times, did not think about truth as something abstract. They think about truth as something to be experienced, to be lived. Matter is not about what you believe, but what you live. How do you live? To learn from history, it is vital for our present as well as for the health of our future. For example, open your Bibles, please. Yes, open your Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Take your time. Please open your Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Please underline this in your Bible. Make marks so that you'll be able to revisit this and understand the power of history in our lives. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, which says, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. An English poet, Lord Byron, said it very well when he said, the best prophet of the future is the past. It was John F. Kennedy who said, history is a relentless master. It has no present, only the past rushing into the future. To try to hold fast is to be swept aside. Another philosopher and poet and also a writer, George Santayana, once said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. This became so famous that quite all the people made some different versions of it. One, for example, says, those who cannot learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Another one, it says, those who do not remember their past are condemned to repeat their mistakes. Another one even said, those who do not read history are doomed to repeat it. And then those who fail to learn from the mistakes of their predecessors are destined to repeat them. If you don't learn from your parents, you're going to make the same mistakes again. Those who do not know history's mistakes are doomed to repeat them. Today, God wants us to learn from history. Two months ago, we have seen a bunch of individuals acting in a very rational way, with a lot of anger, trying to destroy all the statues, all the monuments. And some of them with some explanation, some cause, but some of them just on the anxious to cause damage, to voice their anger. And I'm not here to discuss if they were right or wrong. I'm just saying, from time to time, people are always angry with the past. Sometimes we learn from it, and sometimes we try to deny it. Sometimes we are ashamed of it, and sometimes we are proud of it. But whatever happened in the past, it will happen again. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. As it was, it will be again. That's why we need to know the facts of history, so that we may learn from them. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, Genesis is full of history. In one single book, there are thousands of years compressed in a very few pages. One that has caught my attention since I was even a child is the story of a tower. You know what tower I'm talking about, right? If you see in the cover of your bulletin, you see a picture that more than 100 some years ago, an artist tried to picture how this tower was looked like, the tower known as the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel in the Bible, it is a building. It was in the land of Sinar, which is the Babylonia, you know, where Iraq is it today. Sometimes just after the flood. The story of its construction is found in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, all the way to 9. I hope you can do some reading this afternoon, and you can read Genesis 11, 1 to 9. It tells us how and why diverse human languages came into existence. Yeah, as I know, quite sometimes people keep wondering, why we are so different, race and color and languages, all this different, where all this came from. And a lot of people try to create fancy explanations, and some of them claim to be biblical, but it's not biblical at all. The Bible simply tells us when it took a time, something that happened, and the people were forced to move away from each other. Because something happened. Let's see what happened. It says here in the Bible that the people decide to build a mighty city. And in the center of that mighty city, they decide to build a tower. And what is interesting is the language they use here that says, with a stop to reach the sky. You know, everyone, even today and back then are the same way. They always look up saying that's where God is. So it's wondering that these people says, let's reach up to God. Let's put this tower so high that reach to the skies. And they started. And they said, we want to do to make a name for ourselves. And they started building. In Genesis 11, verse 9, I'm going to read from the Common English Bible. This is what it says, Genesis 11, verse 9. By the way, is backwards 9-11 also. And I'll tell later on why I chose 9-11, Genesis 9-11, as a Bible text for this morning, as a Bible reference for this. By now, some of you already know, some of you are already old enough to understand the implication, the historic implications of 9-11. So first was Genesis 9-11. Now we are reading Genesis 11-9 in a Common English Bible. Therefore, it is named Babel, because there the Lord mixed up the language of all earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over all the earth. The Tower of Babel was not built because people were trying to climb into heaven, as a child may think as they read or listen to this story. There was more profound implications on why they tried to build that tower. No, isn't why they built the Tower of Babel. We only needed to look at the Bible to see why it was built. The people built this tower. They said, come, Genesis 11, verse 4, New Living Translation. Come, let us build a great city for ourselves. Emphasis on ourselves, for ourselves. With a tower that reaches into the sky. And then they say, this will make us famous. Wow. Human vanity. We always try to be famous. It's all about me, 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 me. How many sacrifices people do throughout this life just to be famous. In Brazil, they have a saying that I have used many times. They say something like this, which should make some common sense, but somebody created this saying. They says, say something bad, say something good, but please keep talking about me. Yes, these people, they want to be famous. So they want to create a symbol of rebellion against God. And then they said, keep us from being scattered all over the earth. We don't want to separate from each other. We want to be all stuck like rats all together. Pile up, just like New York City, like Sao Paulo, Brazil, Mexico City, and Shanghai in China. All those cities where the people are living on top of each other, and I wonder why there are so much contamination going on and virus, new virus being created, because people are disobeying God from long time ago. They are still trying to get all together, and they build towers so they can stay together. There are at least three reasons why they did this. First, let me tell you one. Out of their own words, they said, we want to build this tower because we want to be famous. Some translations say to make a name for ourselves. We want to be God for other people. So when the people think about us, they're going to think about us as being powerful, to be defiant against God. God said he sent the flood. Now we're going to be prepared, because if he does again, we will be prepared for whatever he sends our way. They forgot the promise that God made. Second, he says, to reach into the sky. Today, history is repeating itself. We hear people, religious people, saying today how to get salvation to their own effort. Some people are building their faith brick by brick on their own merits instead of in the grace of God. There are a lot of religions that are based on human actions. If you look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, 23, when it says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but those who does my Father's will. Verse 22, people say, oh, let me show you all my bricks, how I'm building my ladder towards God, to reach God. He says, we perform miracles. We did this in your name. We do all that just to listen to the words of Jesus Christ. In verse 23, says, away from me. I have no idea who you are. An interesting observation regards their desire to be famous. They were selfish, and they want to be independent of God. They want to tell God, we don't fear you. We don't want anything to do with you. We will provide for ourselves. We will make our own way to escape whatever you send in our way, because they believe that God was the destroyer. They want to reach the sky. Then in Genesis 11, verse 6, New Living Translation, God said to them, God said, of course, God the Trinity spoke by saying, look, the people are united. You know how powerful human beings can be when they're united for good? But also, sadly, when people are united to do what is evil. He says, the people are united, and they always speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. I received a phone call from someone asked me a question about the Tower of Babel. And the person asked, I don't understand why God separated these people. You know, they're all family. They are nice people. They speak the same language. They knew each other. They were friends. And why would God send them away from each other? Let me say this to you as an act of grace. Remember what happened to them when there was two groups before the flood? There was the children of God and the children of men. and they were separated from each other. There was one group in one side and the other group on the other side. They were away from each other. But what happened when they got close? They start speaking the same language. They start acting the same way. The Bible says that sin reached the highest. Fill the earth with sin. So God here is trying to prevent a human race to be exposed themselves to a very destructive journey. God is an act of grace, has to separate them so they will not work into their own destruction again. Why do you think they were worried about being sent away from each other? The answer is found in Genesis 9, verse 1. Genesis 9, verse 1. When Noah and his family came out of the ark, God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth." Same commandment that God gave close to 2,000 years before to Adam and Eve. Now God is repeating the same commandment again. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He didn't say fill a city. Be all together. You know, we know about this pandemic virus, coronavirus, COVID-19. We know a few things that we know about this is it came from a very heavily populated area. And immediately affect like a fire all those highly populated states, cities, New York, New Jersey, and we go on and on, all the big cities. Exactly what God said, that we must fill the earth. It was never intended for God never intended for us to be all in one box, breathing each other's air and sharing each other's evil thoughts, unhealthy habits, and so on. God's commandment is still valid to this day. We can fill the earth if we stay all in one place. God knew the problems that overpopulating one single area would have caused to his beloved children that he has created. Now the world with sin, the destructive power of sin, it was very dangerous for them to be all together. So they were asked to move away from each other. If you look around the world and see the less populated areas, how more moral people are when they are not all in the same area. If you look around the world throughout history, all the most immoral places are those places where there are a lot of people together. And that's exactly what God was trying to convey to the people in that area when they were building that tower. They forgot the covenant that God made with Noah. After Noah and his family left the ark, remember? Noah built an altar, an offer, a sacrifice. And the Bible says that God was pleased because it was a commitment between him and his creation. It was a new beginning for God. It was a new beginning for humankind. So God then came down and made a covenant with Noah and his family. That's what Genesis 9:11 talks about. Now I establish my covenant. I'm reading from New King James Version. Now I establish my covenant with you, talking to Noah and his family. Never again shall the flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. By the way, let me make a little pause here to talk to you about 9/11 a little bit. You know that people planned for many, many years They plan to come and destroy the pride of America, the symbol of power of America. It's not only America, but it was the world's towers that America built, those twin towers in New York. There were many, many, many nations represented, many of those offices by many nations. All the people that were killed when those towers were brought down, they were not all Americans. They have people from all over the world working in those buildings. That was the World Trade Center. Remember a few years before, some terrorists rent some vans, put thousands of explosives inside of them, and drove to those towers. And security just let them go in, pass by, and they park under those buildings, and they explode those bombs. At that time, they thought that explosion would be sufficient to bring those towers down. President Clinton, Bill Clinton was the president back then. He did a lot of damage and hurt some people, but the towers stood. How quickly America forgot, but the enemies continue planning. They try from underneath, the towers did not fall. So they said, it has to be from above. And they made a very sinister plan because they knew what 9/11 meant in the English mind. 9/11 is a symbol of emergency. And in a very sarcastic way, they chose 9/11. They planned in their evil minds, they planned 9/11 to be forever something for America, to remind American people about their confidence and arrogance according to them. So they want to destroy those towers at all costs. So they planned. They even came to America and they attend some fine schools in Texas. And here comes these people that are very close, very serious, and they pay for these flying instructions. They pay cash. And they told the instructors, we don't want to learn how to land. We want to learn only how to take off. Somebody reports to an FBI agent, and she reports to her superiors. Nobody pay attention to the information because of arrogance. But the day came, and I remember watching on television those horrible scenes. Nobody believed in those towers because they were built to resist anything. Everybody around the world was shocked how fast those towers came down. History repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything that happened will happen again. But God made this covenant. Going back, God made this covenant with Noah. And you know what God did? Not only he made the covenant, but he signed his covenant. Do you know how he signed this covenant? Anybody wants to guess how God signed his covenant? He put in the sky a rainbow. That was God's signature. And every time you see the rainbow, you have to be reminded that God signed a covenant with you and I. It's a reminder from history that God's finger have signed this covenant. But as a sign of rebellion, as a sign of defiance, one immoral group has chosen exactly the same colors to be the symbol of their pride. By the way, those are their words, the symbol of their pride. It's not coincidence, brothers and sisters. pay attention to history. There is a lot of lessons in history that it reveals to us what is going to be in the last days. This is the story of the Tower of Babel and many other stories throughout the Bible. It's showing how God is participating in our own history and how he's want us to learn the lessons from history so that we do not make the same mistakes of the past. Until this point, until the point where the tower was built, people were very intelligent. They have a lot of skills. They could communicate to each other without any problem. They could have built many destructive things that are only was built many, many years old. Remember, if they have not been separated, they maybe have developed some very destructive weapons. God, as an act of grace, had to separate them. Indeed, the people are one, God said, and they have only one language. There is danger for them to stay together. We must separate them. Notice that how God unites them and how God had to separate them. So God said, come, let us, the Trinity, go down and confuse their language because they need to be sent away from each other, or they will destroy each other. It was, brothers and sisters, an act of grace. It was not punishment. It was not God doing something destructive. It was God doing something constructive. It was an act of mercy. God asked them to fill the earth, and they refused, so God sent them to fill the earth. So God called the Tower of Babel a noisy confusion, a place of noise. That's all that it was. Today, we have to be careful with our pride. Pride is a very dangerous virus. Pride is so refined in our days that we have to be careful because we can end up being proud of being humble. When we become proud of being humble, then goodness becomes badness. Our virtues become vices. And our religion becomes just a set of meaningless rituals. Let me tell you an illustration. You all probably have heard about the Amish people, right? You know, you see them sometimes in television. They almost all dress alike. You know, boys dress like boys and girls, but they all have a very unique way to dress. So this illustration talks about an Amish farmer named Levi. He bought a new pair of overalls. Of course, the Amish are famous for their simplicity because for them, pride is a very bad sin that has to be avoided. You know, we all agree with that. As he put on his new overalls and looked in the mirror, he said to himself, "Oh, Levi, this will never do. You'll be proud of this." So immediately he removed them. And then he put back on the patched ones, the old one. Then he stood again in front of the mirror and he looked at himself and said, "Ah, Levi, you would look good in anything." Yes, brothers and sisters, there are a very tricky way to be proud. We can be proud about being not proud. When they said, when the people that built the tower, that says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and tower." We can hear the echo of these words throughout the ages. Can you hear? History repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun. So we can hear the echo of these words throughout the ages. Yes, Babel. What about Babylon? Remember the king? What they said about his city, the eternal city? What about the pyramids in Egypt, in Central America, the Aztecas, the Incas. There are in Guatemala, Nicaragua, pyramids in the middle of the jungle. Machu Picchu in South America. We see if you go to Greece, you see Athens, huge monuments in pieces from things from the glory of the past. What about Rome? When Rome was built, they said that Rome was the eternal city. What about the invincible Spanish Armada, who every country around the world feared? And when they tried to battle against the British forces, the weather destroyed them. The invincible Armada. Remember when Adolf Hitler, when those of you that know the story, when Adolf Hitler said that he was the Third Reich, he was making reference of the Holy Roman Empire, which was not holy, but they call holy. That was the First Reich. Then they talk about the Second Reich, the German Empire. Then Hitler said, ours is the Third Reich. He said it will last 1,000 years. And he started building sports arenas and symbols and huge things. And his soldiers went from country to country stealing precious art, all to bring to Germany, because according to him, Germany was going to be the center of the world, will control the world. The whole world will be speaking German. That was the ambitious plans of Adolf Hitler. He chose to ignore history. And he has been doomed by history. Do you remember, ever heard about the Soviet Union? They also thought that it would last forever. And then came another union. People fled from Europe and came through the oceans looking for a new place. And they found the place what they call America. And later became the United States of America. We built this nation on the basis of obedience to God. But today we are forgetting history. We are doomed to suffer the consequences of ignoring history. The Tower of Babel. I wish people in our government in America could hear the echoes from the Tower of Babel, the confusion that was there, and what causes them to be brought down. Be careful, America. History repeats itself. The Tower back then was defiance. The arrogance that brought the Twin Towers in New York, it could have been avoided if people could listen to the signs that the terrorists were sending. But they chose to ignore. The people that came to destroy the towers, they looked themselves in the camera. They were in the watch list. But arrogance allowed them to go through. They thought, just like those that built the Titanic, the unsinkable ship. They built this beautiful piece of art, luxurious. And they thought nothing. Not one person even said, not even God can sink this ship. Of course, God is not in the business of seeking anything. The devil is, but they think that God is the one who is doing. But what happens to that unsinkable ship is in the bottom of the ocean. just confusion, just noise. How arrogance can have done this to us. Another illustration that I have used once in Vista, I'm repeating, and since we're talking about the history lessons, I think it's okay for us to repeat. The story goes like this. An admiral looking out for his command post on the deck of his battleship, he saw that some lights were in the distance coming close and close to him, to his ship. So immediately he got to the radio and said, "Turn aside." He was talking to this light that was coming, that he thought was another ship coming towards his ship. So he said, "Turn aside 10 degrees, starboard." Then the radio beeped back. "Negative. I advise you turn aside 10 degrees, starboard." Oh, that affects the admiral's pride. And furious, he righted back. He said, "No, you turn aside. I am Admiral McIntyre. I am in command of a battleship." The message was returned. "I am Private Robert, and I am in charge of this lighthouse. You turn back immediately." Brothers and sisters, God keeps giving us warning over and over again. And unfortunately, our arrogance has caused us many pain. We need to be humble by God's humility, not a fake humility, but God's humility. We need to allow God to work in our lives and to teach us from the past so that we don't repeat the miseries of the past. We need to learn good things of the past. All that we are today, we are a bookcase of facts from the past, because that's what every human is. We are a group of lessons from the past. That's what we are. That's why we build our own personalities. Pride, it is a very, very dangerous disease. Pride is a deadly virus that continues to destroy human lives all over the world and throughout the ages. Pride is the only disease known to mankind that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. I don't know how many of you have heard or seen on television or in any newspaper stories about people celebrating. They call the COVID-19 parties. This is not new. Like we say, history repeats itself, right? August 14, 1969, 51 years ago, in Cuba, a storm started in Cuba. By the 17th, it was already arrived in the shores of the United States. So something happened, and this was recorded. So I would like to share with you a fact that did happen in August 17, 1969, 51 years ago. It says like this: in Paz, P-A-S-S, the name of the city, Paz Christian. No fun intended here. Paz the Christian. Okay, it says Paz Christian. That's what it is. Mississippi, the state of Mississippi. A group of people were preparing a hurricane party. Yes, they heard on the radio and the news that a hurricane was coming towards their city. So they decide to have a hurricane party. In face of the storm, there was named at that time Camille, the second strongest ever to hit the United States. These arrogant young people, they were partying. Were they not afraid? Were they not well informed? The fact is that as they were partying, by the evening, a police officer, his name was Jerry Peralta, pulled up and decided to talk to the people, the young people. One of the people in the party came out on the balcony with some drink in their hands and said, "What's up, Sheriff?" And Mrs. Peralta told them, "You all need to clear out of here as quickly as you can. A storm is coming. And it's going to get worse before it gets any better. You must get out. As the sheriff was talking, more young people came into the balcony. And then one of them said very loudly to the sheriff, "This is my land. If you want me off of it, you must arrest me." Of course, the sheriff could not arrest anybody for being stupid. Stupidity is not against the law. There's no law in any state of the United States that forbid people or punish people directly by sending them to jail because they are just doing some stupid things. But he was not able to persuade them to leave either. He could not arrest them, and he was not able to persuade them to leave. But he did something that he was entitled to do. He wrote down the names of the next of kin to every one of them, and also collect their names. They laugh as the sheriff wrote their names. At 10:15 p.m., the storm arrived. The hurricane hit the set of apartments where those young people were celebrating. And not one single one of them escaped alive. The winds at that time that hit the shore was 174 miles per hour. It is said that the raindrops hit with a force of bullets, and waves of out to 22 to 28 feet high destroyed everything. 259 lives were lost at that day. In Pass Christian, all those that were celebrating the storm, those that were trying to welcome the storm arrived and took their lives away. If you go to Google and you Google parties, COVID-19 parties, you're going to find some parties in Florida, Alabama, North Carolina, in quite some other states. Young people doing exactly the same thing that the people did in the Tower of Babel. They were defiant. They still are. Some young people in Alabama, this is on the news, were throwing a COVID-19 parties. And they were so arrogant. They were selling tickets for this party. And on the ticket, they stamped, "Anybody who can prove that they were contaminated first will receive a prize." They all had to go see the doctor, see who was the one who got infected. Anyone who got infected will be receiving a price. Jesus said about this generation, Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39, I'm reading from a New Living Translation. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time when Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Yes, brothers and sisters, history repeats itself. But thank God for the Word of God, that we don't need to be victims of yesterday's mistakes. We can learn from history. As we all go back to school, and I'm not talking about only the children, it's time for God's people, young and old, to go back to school, go back to the Bible. Let's learn the lessons so that we do not repeat, we don't become victims of our arrogance, if we don't become victims of our ignorance. Let us all turn back to God's word. Let us all contemplate his hand signature as we see the rainbow throughout the Bible as his promise that destruction will not come the same way they came on the flood. But destruction will come. One way or the other, destruction will come. Why? Because destructions are produced, are the fruits of rebellion, are the fruits of sin. And this generation, the last days generation, is going to go from bad to worse, just like the days of Noah. And when I read about those COVID-19 parties, all that comes to my mind is Jesus' words. Yes, they were partying until the storm came and took them away. I want you, my brothers and sisters, to learn from history. There are so many other things that we could have said today, but I want you to create, you know, imagine, search, and you see how many incidents have happened throughout history. Arrogance has been the worst enemy for humankind. I hope and I pray that you are humble at heart, that you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your ears and to teach you how to be humble, how to listen to God's guidance, and be prepared. Not be alarmed, but be prepared, because the storm is coming. We know that it's coming because the Lord has said hundreds and hundreds of, there is 2,500 times that the Bible says that Jesus is coming. My prayer for you is just like the prayer in this, the children's story, when the prophet asked for the Lord to open the eyes of the young people. My prayer for you today, my beloved brothers and sisters, is that the Lord open your eyes. Open your minds. Give you the guidance towards his word that you learn from history. Let's all go back to school. Let's all examine history and all learn from it, because that's how, why God put this wonderful book together. I am today saved by God's grace. I am part of God's people, holy people today, because somebody put a word, the holy word, in my hand and told me, this will change you. And the rest is history. Today I'm speaking to you because God was gracious to me. He put a book of history a book of lessons in my hand, and he told me to search. And I did search, and my life became meaningful. It brought meaning to my life, and that's what I wish for all of you. Don't look the signs and destructive things that Satan is causing, but look to the deliverance that the Lord will send your way. God be with you, and may the Lord bless you with understanding about all those beautiful lessons that he has reserved for us to learn. Let's be prepared, because the Lord is coming. And when the sun shines, I hope you'll be looking at the sun, S-O-N. God bless you.
At this time, we will have our closing hymn. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Danya Tayag. Please join us as we sing hymn number 229, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. Ye seed of Israel's chosen race, he ransomed of the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crowned him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crowned him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, join in the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Join in the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
At this time, I'd like to ask you to bow down your heads for a benediction. The Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the blessings that you have provided to us as your people. Wonderful lessons, Lord, we find in your holy word. We ask you, please, to give us always the guidance of your Holy Spirit so that we may be saved from the mistakes of the past. And as we write history with our own living, may we leave behind something positive for others, new generations to learn from us. Allow us, Lord, to reflect the image of Christ in everything we do, everything we choose to say. Allow us, Lord, to be instruments in your hands to help others to come close to you. Bless us today. Keep us, Lord, focused on the person of Jesus Christ so that we will not be distracted by the storms, but we'll be always looking for the sun that will bright shine. Lord, we thank you so much for the wonderful promises that you have put before us. beautiful lives of people that live in the past that can motivate and give us guidance on how to build our own relationships with you. Bless each person who chose to worship in your name today. Today we remember that you are our Abba. Today we remember that we are special because of your grace. Today we are reminded that you have a kingdom, a place reserved for us. And we cannot forget that you are a God of promises and you're a God that keeps your promises. Therefore, Lord, today we make a commitment to trust in you 100%, to surrender our lives completely to you, and to look with faith towards the future. Because as we look back, we can see your deliverance. We can see your miracles. We can see your grace. We can see your mercies. We can see that you are good all the time. Thank you for being our Abba, and thank you for your redeeming grace. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.